Good afternoon, everybody. You're tuned to 103.2 Dublin City FM, and this is Europe Today with your presenters for this week, Carmel O'Donoghue and I, John Byrne. Last weekend here in Dublin, the annual staging of the BT Young Scientist and Technology Exhibition took place in the RDS, and Europe Today was there at the invitation of the European Commission, whose participation this year focused on food research. This week's programme features interviews from some of the people we met on the day we were there, including this year's overall winners, Ian O'Sullivan and Eimear Murphy from Cantor County Cork. We'll have a roundup of some of the stories of Irish interest that are making the headlines across Europe. Carmel has her regular roundup of European news affecting us here, and we'll have some wonderful eclectic music from Greece and Spain for your enjoyment as well. So stay tuned to us here on 103.2 Dublin City FM for the next half an hour and your programme Europe Today. The EU Commission has given the go-ahead for a new €315 billion fund for job creation. The European Fund for Strategic Investments, or EFSI, will mobilise additional investments in areas including infrastructure, education, research, innovation and renewable energy. It will also focus on SMEs and mid-cap companies with employee numbers between 250 and 3,000 employees. EU Commissioner for Jobs, Growth, Investment and Competitiveness, Jerker Katininen, says the new fund will, amongst other things, make it simpler to develop a business.
The creation of transparent project pipeline in which there are well-structured, reliable and also viable infrastructure projects, so it's easier for the private money to come in. The European Investment Advisory Hub, one-stop shop for technical and financial assistance for investors and project developers.
The EU is also to provide €200 million to help budding entrepreneurs get their innovative ideas to market quicker. The Fast Track to Innovation, or FTI plan, which is part of the Horizon 2020 programme, will work on a pilot or test basis between now and the end of 2016. Alicia O'Rourke of the EU office in Dublin says all business ideas are welcome and further details can be accessed on the participant portal website.
This is a new €200 million Fast Track to Innovation pilot initiative, and the idea is to promote innovation by reducing the time that it takes to bring innovative ideas to market. So it'll basically be an open call for proposals over a two-year period, starting now. It'll be open to all types of participants, and the kind of projects that will be funded are those which are business-driven, and that will be to ensure promising innovative ideas are exploited faster and get to the market quicker.
Almost 9 out of 10 Irish respondents, or 87%, say helping people in developing countries is important. The Eurobar survey also shows that support for increasing aid has grown in Ireland by 12 percentage points since 2013. It also revealed that 71% of Irish respondents, compared to 64% elsewhere in the EU, believe tackling poverty in developing countries should be one of the main priorities of the European Union. Ruth Deasy of the EU office in Dublin says the findings are surprising considering the difficulties in the Irish economy.
It tells us that in spite of the recession that Irish people remain very much in favour of supporting overseas aid. They see that food security is an important issue. And the study was produced to mark the European Year of Development, which celebrates all the people who work so hard to work for a better world. And Irish people, of course, as we know, give a very large amount per capita compared to other countries.
Now you can follow Europe Today on Twitter.
This is Carmel O'Donoghue for Europe Today on 103.2 Dublin City FM. Violence with Kalashnikovs will not make us downgrade our European values. That was the promise that European Parliament President Martin Schulz made on Monday when he named the 17 people killed in last week's terror attacks in France. The European Parliament fell silent for 1 minute as parliamentarians remember those who died. The attacks in Paris have sparked a fierce debate on a planned EU terror law that would share passenger data. On the 1st of January, Latvia took over the rotating presidency of the Council of the European Union from Italy. Latvia is the second Baltic state to hold the Council's six-month rotating presidency, following Lithuania's tenure in 2013. The former Soviet country assumes the mantle at a delicate time in EU-Russian relations as tensions continue over Russia's incursion into Ukraine. It will hold the presidency until the 30th of June this year, when it will hand it over to Luxembourg. If they manage to pull it off, the Transatlantic Trade in Partnership Accord, otherwise known as TTIP, being discussed by EU and US negotiators, would be the biggest trade deal in history. TTIP's aim is to significantly boost business on both sides of the ocean by slashing trade barriers, cutting red tape, and harmonising commerce practices. Talks are gathering pace with the aim of concluding an agreement by the end of 2015. Lithuania, 7 years behind schedule, finally adopted the euro this month. It's been lined up to replace its currency since 2002, but due to its struggle amid the global financial crisis, it kept putting this off. By becoming the 19th member of the euro bloc, Lithuania's trade will get a boost and its borrowing costs will fall. In the 28-member European Union, 337 million people now share a common currency. EU Commissioner for Agriculture Phil Hogan gave his first address to Irish farmers since taking over as Commissioner in November. Speaking at a recent event to mark the 60th anniversary of the founding of the IFA in Dublin, he said that he's determined to tackle the problems in the food supply chain, which means that consumers pay too much for groceries and farmers pay too much for inputs, such as fertiliser, even at a time of falling oil and gas prices. The price of petrol is tumbling and is set to fall further. Filling up at the pumps is getting cheaper throughout the Eurozone thanks to the crash in oil prices. The sudden price cuts in petrol represent a massive direct shot of stimulus that government and central banks have, for various reasons, avoided. Extra cash is now in the motorists' pockets and could help slash costs in other industries, potentially freeing up money firms can hold or pass on to customers in the form of cuts. Congratulations goes to Dr. Martin O'Donnell from the National University of Ireland, Galway. He is one of 8 Irish-based researchers to have recently been awarded a prestigious European Research Council starting grant worth up to €2 million. The award will support his research project, which seeks to clarify how much sodium intake is optimal for health. This year is the European Year for Development, and it's a landmark year for international cooperation. Important decisions on poverty eradication, development, environmental and climate policies will be in the global limelight. It's also the target year for achieving the Millennium Development Goals. The results of the latest Eurobarometer shows that of the 28 member states, we are the most optimistic country about the future of the EU. 78% of Irish respondents reported feeling optimistic about the future of the EU. This is far above the EU average of 56%. This is Carmel O'Donoghue for Europe Today on 103.2 Dublin City FM.
Será la primavera y aunque nada sea culpa de las flores. Pasa el tiempo, pasa lo que pasa, pasa una y otra vez. Por mucho que en pasado nos jurásemos sagrado lo que fuera. De todo lo pasado, cuánto queda, cuánto sirve y para qué. ¿Será que con los años me echo inmune a casi todos los pecados? Muerme de pereza, ir al infierno, siento y salgo a diario de él. Tal vez a estas alturas ya no exista las alturas de lo amado. Y sigo aquí sentado a pie de un por si acaso un pueda ver. Y de repente no sé cómo nada siento y caigo en cuenta que estoy libre de temores, libre ya de amores, que vivo como aire y el mundo me otra vez. Y de repente no sé cómo nada siento y caigo en cuenta que estoy libre de temores, libre ya de amores. Tiro, tomo aire y el mundo se ilumina otra vez.
Libre ya de amores. de mi alegría. O puede algo corriente en un instante hacerse sobrenatural. En todo pensamiento voy entero, va mi amor y va mi abrazo. Y mira si te quise, pero ya por eso no vuelvo a pasar. No sé cómo nada siento y caigo en cuenta que estoy libre de temores, libre ya de amores, que vivo tomo aire y el mundo me responde.
Just entering the Spanish charts this week, that's a track by Miguel Bosé and it's called Libre Ya de Amores.
Broadcasting on 103.2, this is Dublin City FM.
Last weekend here in Dublin at the RDS, the annual BT Young Scientist and Technology Exhibition celebrated its 51st year, making it one of the longest standing exhibitions of its kind in the world. The winners of the exhibition go on to represent Ireland at the European Union Contest for Young Scientists, where in its 25 years history, Ireland has won first place 15 times. Europe Today was there last Saturday at the invitation of the European Commission and we got to talk to some of the people involved. First we spoke to Barbara Nolan, Director of the European Commission Representation in Ireland. Barbara, thanks very much for taking the time out to talk to us on Europe Today. Barbara, fantastic turnout here in the RDS. How important is something like this for the European Commission?
We feel it's very important that we're here and with the big stand ourselves. Why? Because we invest a lot of money in research and science at European level. 80 billion euros over the next 7 years will be going into this area. We also want to promote careers in science and research for young people. So it's very important that all these young people who come here realise that there is a future in science and that they should continue to study science. The winner of this goes forward to European level and they compete against winners of the National Young Scientist. And Ireland has a brilliant track record in that regard because over the last 26 years, 14 of the winners at European level have been the winner of this competition have been Irish young scientist people. We have a whole scheme running called Science, It's a Girls Thing, trying to target young girls to get them interested in science and to realise that there is a future in science for them if they continue studying it. And so that's one of our things. We also have a scheme called the Marie Curie scheme, which is for young researchers so that they can go abroad and do, you know, high level research in another EU member state. And it's actually quite a generous scheme in that people actually earn quite a good wage during that time. So it's very competitive. You have to be at the top of your game, but nonetheless, it's a great opportunity to go and meet, with your fellow scientists in whatever particular area you're concentrating on. So we want people to know about all these possibilities and opportunities and to realise that, you know, the future is science.
Barbara, thanks a million for taking the time to talk to us on Europe Today.
Thank you very much.
Carmel O'Donoghue and I got to speak to previous winners from 2013, Emer Hickey, Kira Judge and Sophie Healy-Thau, who went on to win the European Contest for Young Scientists and also the Google Science Fair.
I'm going to kick off and talk to Kira. Kira, 24 months ago, what have you been doing since? Where did you get the love of science?
It's been a very exciting 24 months for us. We won the BT Young Scientist. We went on to Europe where we won the EU Young Scientist. We've had the opportunity to travel to conferences and events all over Ireland and all over Europe. And then in September, we were crowned Global Champions of the Google Science Fair with the same project that we won in 2013 that we originally had. So I guess my own interest in science would probably have been sparked here at the BT Young Scientist. My brother was the first person from our school to compete in the exhibition, and I went up to just have a look at his project. But I remember the stand beside him had a project on the memory of a goldfish. And as somebody who was really interested in animals, the fact that animals could be involved in science, I was very young at the time, I was about 4 years old, the fact that animals and science were linked, I was hooked instantly.
Excellent, thanks very much, Kira. Now I'm just going to move over to Emer and ask Emer, you know, what her career goals are now that she's the 2013 EU Young Scientist.
So because of all the experience we've had from doing the BT Young Scientist, going to the European Union Contest for Young Scientists and the Google Science Fair, I've learned a lot about the different science careers, and there's so much more than just working in a lab. And I've kind of figured out that for myself, Even though I love research, I don't think I would like to spend my life working within a lab, because I love being with people and I love communicating new ideas. And so then, because of this, I'm really interested in going into science communication or media with science. But I'll probably do a science degree first and then go in from there.
Thank you very much. So I'm just going to move on then over to Sophie Healy-Thau. Sophie, hi, how are you? I just wanted to ask you, what's it been like? I know it's been 24 months ago, you've come down to Earth, and I suppose, you know, what are your plans for the future?
It's been an amazing few years. I can't believe what it has come to, because honestly, I didn't even like science before I entered the BT Young Scientist and did my own project, when I felt that science really came alive for me and I found that it was fun. And then when we went on to the EU and met so many people from all over the world, some of a few that I'm actually still in contact with and I hope to meet very shortly. And making connections like that and really getting to know people is what really interests me in science and in competitions like this. But I suppose for now we're actually doing our Leaving Cert next year. So we're taking a break from all the competitions and all the projects that we're involved in to focus on our studies. But hopefully we'll come together and we'll do more work on the project later on.
I mean, again, if you were to sort of isolate the whole European dimension through the last couple of years, what would that have meant to you?
So yeah, the EU meant quite a lot to us, because first of all, we didn't think we could even get there in the first place. The standard of projects in the EU contest for young scientists is absolutely amazing. I mean, students from all over the world are there. They've got such a high level of projects and really, really nice and interesting people. So it really meant a lot to us to win that, actually. And then thanks to the EU Contest for Young Science, we actually went to the Generation Z in Brussels at the EU Commission, which again was amazing. We got to meet so many amazing people that had won prizes in the Google Science Fair, so it was really, really good.
Being in the European competition meant that we were able to get our project onto a bigger platform, like across Europe, and we got to meet loads of people with the same interests as us who could maybe help us out with the project, and we have made some great contacts through it. So really, the European competition brought us onto like another platform that really projected the project out to the wider community, and that's what we want to do in the long term.
What's the most impressive part of the whole experience?
It's going to sound quite silly, impressed me was, even though we're all from different countries and we might all speak different languages, we might have Germans, Italians, but we all had common interests and we could all come together with these common interests and form really good friendships on it. And that was just really great to see that everyone really, you know, once you have the same interests and stuff, you can communicate even if you don't have the same language. You know, we might be talking slower, we might be using a lot of sign language, but yeah, it was really great, that part of it.
Okay. And for you?
I think the special thing about the EU Contest for Young Scientists is its ability to bring all the countries in Europe together through science. It showcases the talent that each country has, like the young people of each country have in science, and it allows us to make connections. So, you know, it's great to see, first of all these bright ideas coming together, and, you know, people can form contacts for collaborations in the future, which is something which I think is incredibly valuable. You know, the prizes are great, but the connections are almost better. And it's also great to see that the EU has decided to kind of utilize this potential to not just, you know, make something that's cool, but also they're trying to encourage its young people to actually think about making the world better. And that's why for USIS 2015, there's going to be a special sustainability contest running in parallel with the competition. And actually last night the project was chosen from Ireland to go forward to that competition. And I think it's great because, you know, there is potential. And when we were at the EU Young Scientists, we could see this potential in both of ourselves and all the other projects. And I think it's great that this potential has been challenged and focused and directed on actually making a difference in sustainability, which for us is very close to our hearts, you know, because our project was in the sustainability area. And also because that's a big problem that the world is facing today. Aside from, you know, inventing new technologies that can make our lives better, I think it's good that we're being encouraged to think of those who are already at a disadvantage to us and see what we can do to help them.
Okay, thank you very much. We have an opportunity to talk to this year's winners, Emer Murphy and Ian O'Sullivan. So I suppose we just kick off really, Ian, with yourself, asking you, you know, what was your project about and why did you win? And how does it feel?
Right, so our project was to investigate if there was a relationship between parental alcohol consumption and their attitudes towards alcohol and adolescent alcohol consumption.
And what were your findings, Ian?
So we found that parents really do have an impact on their teenagers drinking. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree, if you like. And it was mainly fathers who had the biggest influence. Mothers had an effect as well, but just not as much.
So why do you think that was the case, that it was fathers who had the most influence?
Why? We're not really sure, but we just know from our results that if a father is a hazardous drinker, then he is 3 times more likely to have a teenager who is also a hazardous drinker.
That's very interesting, Ian. And Emer, yourself, I mean, where are you taking your findings now? Are you going to inform government policy?
Yeah, we hope to inform government policy and get a social norms campaign going, because the most asked question that we got while being at the BT was, what is a hazardous drinker? And people were shocked if they found that they were a hazardous drinker. So we definitely want to...
So what is a hazardous drinker?
Well, it was defined by 3 factors, and these were asked in our survey to see if people were hazardous drinkers or not. So it was, how often do you drink containing alcohol? How many drinks do you have on a typical occasion? And how often do you binge drink, which is having 6 or more standard drinks on one occasion? So based on the answers that you gave, you'd get scores, and the scores combined, if you got over 5 for a parent, you were a hazardous drinker, and over 4 for an adolescent. So we found that 47% of parents were hazardous drinkers and 34% of adolescents were hazardous drinkers.
Fantastic. And are you absolutely delighted to have won this year's
event? Shocked, absolutely shocked. It's amazing.
What does it feel like?
It's just really overwhelming. It's just, I can't believe it's such a big deal. You completely forget about it when you're just taking part in it. And we did not suspect for a minute that we would win it.
Was it really time consuming in terms of preparing for the project?
Well, yes, we were working really up to the last minute. We had 2 weeks work experience at UCC in December to tie the whole project together. So that's where we carried out our statistical analysis, and it was up to last minute basically.
We spent the whole month of November doing our questionnaire and putting all of our data into a computer. So.
What do you think made your project stand out? We've got thousands of entrance and tear at the moment. What do you think made your project stand out more?
I think it's just because it's such a topical research idea, and that everyone can relate to it, and it's such a big cultural problem in Ireland. And also we did it to quite a high level, so the statistics were good and it gave us some very interesting results.
So where to next, guys?
Well, Milan in September, so we're really looking forward to that. So we'll be representing Ireland at the Europe Young Scientist, so we're really looking forward to that. So.
And do you feel you've been with a chance?
Hopefully. We're shocked that we even got this far, so it's just a great experience overall.
And when is that on?
It's on September this year.
We hope maybe to do a follow-up interview with you guys on Europe Today, you know, just see how you got on in Milan. So thanks and the very best of luck in the future, guys.
Thanks very much.
We're still in the RDS, and we're just going to get a little bit of a wrap-up now from Alicia O'Rourke. Alicia, it's a fantastic turnout. There's a lot of people. There's a hell of a lot of things going on. And if you can just wrap up what the whole thing has been over the last weekend.
Well, we've had 3 very busy days here at the RDS. We've had many, many visitors. I really don't know how many. It's been very, very many. We've really enjoyed it. We've been talking to a lot of different people. We've been engaging with them and discussing European issues and policies. But more than anything, we've been meeting the young people who have presented projects here. And the projects are just phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. So it's been a great event for the European Commission.
The winners will go on now to represent Ireland in Milan in September. I mean, how does that actually work, and how important is that to the European Commission that we have a representation at that level?
It's very important. The European Commission is really trying to push the promotion of the STEM subjects, particularly for girls. We have a campaign running called Science, It's a Girls Thing. And the problem is that young girls very often stop studying those subjects when they're about 17. So the idea is to keep them interested. And I think events like this do that. And the European Union contest is designed for the same reason. They get together from all member states. They compete with each other. They network. It's a fantastic experience for them to go to Milan. And we've had a phenomenal success rate. We've had 14 winners in the last 26 years from Ireland. And that's just first prize winners. On top of that, we've had second prize, third prize, fourth prize. So a very, very successful Irish participation in the EU contest.
Okay. And you feel that this is sort of keeps an Irish profile in these European competitions? Or, I mean, could we just sort of drop out of it and nobody misses?
Oh, no, I think Ireland is well and truly on the map in terms of their students going forward to this. Having won it so many times, I think we are probably top of the league. So I think if we didn't go, we'd be sorely missed.
This year, the EU stand had a special emphasis on food research, and everyday visitors were invited to test their knowledge about food and exercise by taking part in the Food for Me game. This game was developed by a local Dublin company called Crem Global, who participates as a partner in groundbreaking EU-funded FP7 research projects like Food for Me. Europe Today got the opportunity to speak to CEO of Crem Global, Cronan McNamara, and I began by asking Cronan what was the focus of their participation at this year's exhibition.
Our focus was to promote the work we're doing on the European Framework 7 project called Food for Me. Yeah. So we developed a game which we thought would be entertaining and educational for kids around trying to predict the amount of calories in various portions of food and also what amount of energy each one would give you in order to do various exercises like running or cycling. So we're there to promote our science and our work we're doing in collaboration with the EU at the moment.
Right. And Crem Global was a recipient for some funding from the, FP5 programme?
Yeah, actually, Crem Global actually spun out of Trinity College, and the research we were doing back in Trinity College back in 2005 was funded by the European Framework 5 program in a project called Monte Carlo. So, in fact, the whole idea for the company Crem Global and the initial funding which created the software and the technology we were using today, it was from EU funding back in 2005.
Right. The game that you're using today, that's a spin-off of the work that you've been doing, is it?
Yeah, exactly. So Crem Global, we develop predictive intake models, everything from looking at nutritional scenarios for consumers in different regions of the world, in the US, Europe and Asia, and also looking at things like food safety and total aggregate exposure to chemicals. So we have a lot of data on foods and what people are consuming. The Food for Me project we're working on now in the Framework 7 is just one of our European projects.
Yeah, and it's something. There's a lot of reading involved in that as well, Cronan. I'm just looking at it here now at the moment. It's something that you can really get your teeth into, all right, isn't it? If somebody wants to find out a little bit about it, that's for sure.
Yeah, there's a website. You can come to our website, cremglobal.com, and have a look at our blog. There's also a Food for Me section on our blog which you can read about. We'll actually put the game up on our website, so you can look at it there. So cremglobal.com.
And how important would it be for you to be present at the likes of the Young Scientist exhibition? I mean, is that something you just feel that you need to put back into the community, or what was the reason for you actually being there?
I think there's the two reasons really were to promote the work and the science that we're doing, and also to give something back and try and encourage students to see the potential in science in terms of careers and developing great technology and great careers for the future for themselves.
Okay. And your engagement with the European Union as regards to funding, how simple a programme and how simple a procedure was that, Cronan?
Well, I think it's all about
difficult.
Yeah, probably a better way of putting it. Yeah. Well, first of all, I think it's all about the network you have. Right. We have a good network of scientific collaborators around Europe.
Right,
so if you're going for a major European project, you really need somebody quite experienced to be the principal investigator. And we're lucky to have UCD driving the Food for Me project and some of the other projects. So we were a partner in those projects. So you have to contribute a lot of information around the science of the project, background on your organization or your company, and why your consortium is best placed to win the funding, I suppose, for the project or the research that they're proposing.
Right.
So it's quite a detailed undertaking, yeah.
And once you were engaged in the process, though, was it a relatively straightforward process, or was there a lot of hoops and jigs and reels to go through, or...?
I think for a partner, it's reasonably straightforward. Okay. You have to, track your progress. You have to write up reports on the science and the project as you go along. Now, if you're coordinating a project, which UCD is in the case of Food for Me, now that's a major undertaking.
Okay.
There's a lot of administration and finances, and you probably need a lot of resource there to manage all of that. So that can be quite challenging. But simply partnering on a project with some experienced collaborators shouldn't be a major administrative overhead, and we find it quite straightforward.
Great stuff. Okay. And as regards your participation now in the Horizon 2020 framework, can you tell us a little bit about that?
Absolutely. Yeah. So as a company that was founded on research from the Framework 5. We've been constantly participating in different research frameworks. We've three or four Framework 7 projects going on. And we're looking forward now to Horizon 2020, where there's various opportunities. We're collaborating with UCD on a couple of opportunities already. We have other potential projects in the pipeline as well with different organizations. And we're even looking at the potential SME funding where we can go on our own to look for funding for the research that we want to do ourselves as a company.
And as regards the level of education for science in the schools and things like this, I mean, we saw on the Saturday that we were talking to you, the amount of interest that was in the exhibition and things like this. Is this something that, I mean, you'd be keen to continually promote or get involved with? Or
are you
happy with the sort of... you know, the reception and the reaction from people on the day?
Yeah, I was delighted with it. It was very encouraging, actually, and uplifting to see such such engagement and such enthusiasm and such a large event. So I think it's something we definitely like to continue engaging with in the future and perhaps even creating our own stand as a company. So it'll be very, very interested in that.
And probably just the last thing I'd ask you, what advice can you give students who would wish to pursue maybe a similar course of action that you yourself undertook? I mean, you started off at a small sort of SME and now you've got 35 people working for you. I mean, is there any advice there, you know, in hindsight that you could give?
Yeah, sure.
You know, you've got
so.
All these budding geniuses, I suppose. What advice would you give them for somebody who wants to pursue a similar course of action?
Yeah, very good. I think for me, it was really, first of all, get a good science or technology degree behind you, so you can understand the fundamental, you know, science and technology issues you're trying to deal with. And then you can learn the business aspects later, you know, you can learn them sort of on the job or courses to learn different things about finance and marketing and sales, and you can build up your skills about that. So maybe get a really good foundation in the science and maybe the one you're most interested in. And then after that, trying to build up your network and your experience in business, and you should be going well from there.
And as regards the participation of the European Union, was their participation totally finished after you received the funding, or was there any support from them after that through the FP programs?
Well, the projects are usually well defined in terms of their funding and the period. And once the project completes, it tends to be the end of the project, so you have to really apply for follow-up funding for anything you want to do thereafter.
But that's available to you?
It is available, and actually Enterprise Ireland were very supportive in terms of, you know, supporting the follow-on commercialization of research. So that's a really good organization to look out for if you are carrying out some interesting scientific research that you think has a potential commercial application. Maybe go talk to Enterprise Ireland about potential options you have there.
Brilliant. Cronin, listen, you've been very good to take the time, all the time that you've spent with us here on Europe Today. Thanks a million for taking the time out to talk to us here again. And the best of luck to everybody down in Cram Global. A great success story. Well done, Cronin.
Thanks, John. All the best.
Well, I'm afraid that's all we have time for, folks. But if you want to hear extended versions of the various interviews from today's programme, just go to our support website portal, europetoday.ie, where there is a special podcast of today's episode featuring more from all our wonderful guests who were kind enough to give us their time and patience for this week's special edition from the BT Young Scientist and Technology Exhibition. Join us again here on 103.2 Dublin City FM at the same time next week on your programme Europe Today.